Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hello there. Howdy, everybody. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Great to have you. Happy Monday. I'm not yawning because I'm not excited about the show. I very much am excited about the show. What a sports weekend we had. Major League Baseball's postseason is great, unless you're a New York Yankees fan, in which case it's very bad because they can't stop just doing everything wrong. But on the flip side, we had a spectacular story out of the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday. I'm going to tell you about that coming up in a little while. It is a story of, and this is not even being facetious or sarcastic, as I am ordinarily wont to do. It's a phenomenal story about perseverance, sticking it out, fighting for what you want to happen. We're going to get to that later in the show. NASCAR was absolutely electric yesterday at the Roval in Charlotte, North Carolina. Joey Logano moving on. Ross Chastain having perhaps, perchance, per maybe, the worst weekend in all of sports. I think the only thing that had a worse weekend in sports had to be Skycams in the NFL. We had not one, but two balls deflect off of Skycams yesterday. One of which was a pivotal game-changing field goal that hit a Skycam wire, changed the trajectory of what was likely a made field goal. In another one, a pass deflected up in the air, coulda, shoulda, woulda, come down a certain way that players were playing. Instead, it hits the Skycam right in the lens.
And the drone people are so excited about this.
Oh, the drone people have got to be elated right now.
Because now it's like, hey, wouldn't happen to a drone.
We're right here. We're ready. I could have flipped the joystick right. That ball didn't touch anything, not once, but twice over the weekend. And on top of that, what an absolute wacko weekend in not NFL, not college, just football in general. An absolutely wacko weekend.
It was great to a degree. I mean, because everything that you thought, well, the majority of what you thought you knew, you didn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I started the day
yesterday. If you
yesterday.
Said you wanted parity, you got some this weekend.
You absolutely did. I started it yesterday. I got a text at like 9:30 in the morning that said, asked if I was able to go on the Infinity Sports Network with Anthony Gallo at 12:30 to talk NFL picks yesterday. And as Rob Brown is a dude who wants every bit of airtime he can possibly get, I said, yeah, of course, absolutely, I'd be happy to do it. So Anthony Gallo, who I've been on with a few times on Sundays leading into the games, I jump on and he goes, hey, give me some picks that you like for the NFL. And so I did, gave him a handful that I liked. I gave him, I think, six or seven, four or five totals, a couple of sides, a couple of player props. And I was just like, I ended up, I think, of my picks on Sunday, I went like 4 of 6. And so after the day was over, when I got home last night, I texted Anthony and I texted his producer at the Infinity Sports Network. And I was like, guys, my picks sucked today. I'm sorry. That's on me. That's my bad. I hope you'll have me back. I understand if you don't. That's how bad I was. And I got a text back from both of them that was like, we collectively as a show, I guess they do like a pool of picks during the course of the day. He said collectively as a show, we went like 7 for 27 on our picks this weekend. It's not you. It was a wild weekend in the NFL. And so we're going to get to that. It is also obviously, well, actually Monday here on the show because our AP Top 25 is out. Ohio State, still number one. They did give back another couple of first place votes, now down to 40. They went to the University of Miami, who after their first road test against the Noles, they improve to 5-0 and pick up those couple of votes from Ohio State. Those couple of votes that they picked up from Ohio State, good enough to move Miami from number three up to number two. And they now have 21 first place votes. The other five belong to the Oregon Ducks, who drop a spot from two down to three. Ole Miss hangs out at four. Would you look at this? Mike Elko has the Colt as a top five team. Oklahoma down a spot, jumped by A&M to number six. The Hoosiers of Indiana, led of course by Kurt Cignetti. If you don't know who Kurt Cignetti is, ladies and gentlemen, I have good news for you. You can grab your laptop, open up America's most popular website, and Google him. Indiana at number seven. Alabama now at number eight, up a pair of spots after their win. Texas Tech now up two spots to number nine. And Georgia, after the loss to Alabama a couple of weeks ago, back into the top 10, two spots up. Just about everybody moved up after this, with a couple of exceptions. LSU up a pair of spots to 11. Tennessee, 2, jumps up to number 12, three spots up. Georgia Tech, now a top 13 team, a spot ahead, of number 14, Missouri. Michigan is up five spots to 15. Notre Dame, 5, to number 16. Illinois, five spots up to number 17. BYU, the same number, to 18. Virginia, now up to number 19, down four spots after their loss to Alabama. And if you wondered if Alabama is being taken seriously, Vandy, I'm not going to say got it handed to him by Alabama, because Vandy made it a good game until it wasn't.
I was going to say it was a good game for a while.
Yeah, it was a good game until it wasn't, but the respect is there. The Commodores at 5-1 dropped just four spots down to number 20. They are ahead of up four spots, number 21, Arizona State. Iowa State down eight spots after their first loss on the season. Not just that it was a loss for Iowa State, but they took the L on the road to the Bearcats of Cincinnati. That drops them eight down to number 22. Memphis at 6-0. Interesting pick here. Potentially the group of five representative. 6-0 Memphis, now at number 23. South Florida is unranked last week, up to number 24 this week. And now, with two losses to top 10 teams, the top 25 is rounded out with 3-2 Florida State. FSU, the highest ranked two-loss team in America. There are two teams that you will note we did not mention in the top 25. Two teams that started this season inside of the top five. One of them inside the top one. Texas and Penn State unranked after this weekend.
Aw. That's too bad.
I mean, the only two teams, by the way, to drop out of the top five. Memphis and USF are in. They replaced Texas and Penn State. If you weren't paying attention over the course of the weekend, you may know that a week after Florida went and turned the ball over five times and lost to the LSU Tigers, that the University of Texas went on the road to go play the University of Florida down in Gainesville, a city which has produced one good thing and one good thing only. That is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Nothing else good out of Gainesville, Florida. And they got the dub. The Gators, not the Longhorns. I'm not saying it saved Billy Napier's job, but If Billy Napier doesn't lose his job, he's gonna lean on this one. 29-21, Florida gets it done at the house. And you may have thought, well, that's got to be the worst loss that happened in college football this weekend. And James Franklin said, hold my Yingling, dog. Hang on just a minute, because the Nittany Lions hand the UCLA Bruins their first win of the year. 1-4 are the Bruins after they knock off James Franklin's Lions 42-37. My favorite part about this story.
Big game, James.
My favorite part about this story, it is very clear and very evident that James Franklin took the James can't win the big game criticisms very personally, because he said, well, I'll just go ahead and lose the small games too. You want to bang the drum that I can't win the big games? Hell, I won't win the small games now.
Nico, he showed everybody, didn't he?
I got to tell you.
So there.
I don't know, genuinely, I don't know what you do if you are Penn State now. I don't know what you do. And again, it's a spot where, from this point forward, there is a well greater than 0% chance that Penn State goes 10-2 again. That Penn State gets in again. There's also a chance now, because Ohio State on the road, still on the schedule. I got to tell you right now, if you can lose to UCLA, led of course by college football icon and legend Nico Iamaliava, if you can lose at UCLA, there's not a doubt in my mind, this team could genuinely lose to Iowa on the road. If UCLA can beat them, Iowa can beat them. Ohio State obviously can beat them. Indiana's coming to Penn State. 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 days ago, I would have said, you know, I love, I adore, I am a huge fan of Kurt Cignetti. But I think Penn State's the better football team. Now all of a sudden, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe Fernando Mendoza really is him. Can go into Penn State and get that win. There's a chance that Penn State ends up 8-4. And, you know, like anybody else, when we start the college football season, we make a bunch of season-long predictions, projections, prognostications. And I got to say, I feel like I did pretty good this offseason, yeah? Like, I feel like I did pretty well. I called that the ACC was going to be better than anybody gave it credit for. We're a long ways off,
but they don't
look bad.
We don't really know. I mean, the teams that we thought were really good, and I mean, Miami, okay. That's one team.
I mean,
they're still like...
No love for Georgia Tech? Oh, by the way, who I also told you was going to be really good? No love for Georgia Tech?
So they're top heavy with two teams?
Florida State's lost two games, both to top five teams.
Yeah, okay.
No good? No credit? No credit for that? Everybody except with a top five win, by the way?
I don't know, dude. I'm just not sold yet.
I respect it. I'm not saying you're wrong for feeling that way. I'm saying I'm not wrong in the projection yet.
Okay.
A lot of football left.
All right.
You're not wrong for doubting it? I'm not wrong yet. Made that call. Made the Georgia Tech call. Made the Dante Moore at Oregon call. Made a lot of pretty good calls. There is one that I have to wear like an albatross right now. And that is when I said coming into this year, the conversation about the Penn State Nittany Lions feels different
year. Didn't you pick them to win the Big Ten?
Sure did. Here's the thing. I do not feel bad about incorrect predictions, mainly because I got so damn many of them right. Mm-hmm. I got so many of them right. But good Lord, James, what are we doing? And listen, it's not that a team I expected to be good lost a game they shouldn't have lost. It is on the road at an 0-4 UCLA Bruins team that just fired their coach and had an offensive coordinator who had never called plays before. And if you haven't heard the audio yet, I'm going to play it for you a little bit later in the show. Rick Neuheisel's kid was on the call for the UCLA Bruins this weekend. And he admitted in his press conference that not once, but twice in the game, as he was calling plays, because he's never done that before. He's always been a position coach talking directly to his players. Not once, but twice. He picked up his play sheet. He held it in front of his mouth so he can make the call as necessary. And he forgot to move the microphone down in front of his head that's on the headset. So he was just saying the calls to nobody. Quarterback couldn't hear him. Nico couldn't hear him. Said it happened a couple of times. And then there were a few more times that he remembered to move the headset down into its proper location, but then either forgot to push the button that lets him talk to the quarterback or was pushing the wrong button and was giving the plays to the defensive guys who were, and this is true, I checked, I watched the tape, not on the field at that moment in time. That's the offensive coordinator that James Franklin's defense being, by the way, being coordinated defensively by a defensive coordinator who they went and got from Ohio State, NOBT Dubs, are paying north of $3 million a year. They let 42 go on the board by an 0-4 football team with an offensive coordinator who didn't know how to work a headset and was calling phantom plays because Nico's on the field going, "Coach, I can't hear you! I don't know what you're saying, Coach!" 42 from that team. 42. For James Franklin's Nittany Lions. 42 from an 0-4 team that had an offensive coordinator who was calling plays into the ether because he didn't know how the buttons worked or that he had to move the mic in front of his face. If I came in here and started doing a segment like this, you'd still probably say that guy sucks at his job.
Well, I would just turn. I got a little bit. I could turn you. I mean, you know.
That is what Neuheisel's kid did in this game.
Why you got to keep. I mean, how's that his dad's fault?
It's not his dad's fault. The point is, it doesn't matter who it is. Okay, fine. The offensive coordinator. Doesn't matter who it is. I'm giving him, like, I give him credit because I watched Rick Neuheisel on, what is it, the CBS football roundup. And, like, that dude was fitting to cry. Old Ricky Daddy was. Because, of course, his baby boy just went out there and hung 42 on Penn State. Oh, by the way, in his first game as a coordinator, because they fired everybody and they're like, all right, I guess you got to do it this weekend.
Hey, new guy.
Good luck.
What's your name? Come here.
Yeah. Good luck calling plays against the number three team in the country this weekend. Enjoy. Let us know how that works out. And all he did was go hang 42 on him. Like, I don't know what you do if you are the Penn State Nittany Lions. I don't know what you do. Because this was going to be the team. This was going to be it. We've got Drew Aller. We've got Catron Allen. We've got Nicholas Singleton. We've got all these dudes. Like, of all of the dudes we've had, these are the dudes. And these dudes went out there and let them hang 42. These dudes went out there and scored 37 on the road against the Big Ten's worst team. Like, what are we doing? So if you're Penn State, what the hell do you do? James Franklin's spot. I did see this yesterday, and I have to tell you, it is rare that I laugh out loud to myself. Something's got to be absolutely hilarious for me to laugh out loud when I am by myself. But it happened last night because as I was perusing the internet, getting prepared for today's show, I came across article, column, blog, post, whatever, from a Nittany Lion writer. And the guy said, if you don't know, James Franklin's buyout, if they fired him, is $50 million for the season. If James Franklin quits and moves on, James Franklin would have to pay Penn State $2 million. Effectively, if James Franklin would have gotten an offer for a job he wanted to go take, he would owe Penn State $2 million. And so this writer was like, James Franklin ought to give the school $2 million to quit. I'm like, yeah, no, for sure. I could see a world in which James looks at Penn State and goes, you know what, guys? That one game was so bad. That's my fault. Instead of making you pay me $50 million and firing me, I'm going to give you $2 million and save you the trouble. Okay. Do some people think before they start pushing the buttons on the keypad? I got to assume no. But genuinely, what do you do in this spot if you are Penn State? I've got a head coach that gets us oh so close, but never over the finish line. Or do we look and we go, hey, Winning a championship, getting to a national champion, just getting there is hard as hell, man. Like, it's hard as hell. And yet, James Franklin was in the mix last year. He was in the hunt.
I mean, he was. They were there.
He was a national semifinalist.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's a semifinalist. Like, it's easy for you when you are the one team on the top of the mountain to look down and say, everybody below me sucks.
Yeah, you're right. It is easy.
I know. But I could look and say, there were only four teams that got to be called a national semifinalist last year, and he coached one of them. So, on one hand, you got a guy who keeps getting you close. On the other hand, you got a guy that goes to UCLA, an 0-4 team, and takes that L in a season where, and oh, by the way, that's a week after you lost to the Ducks at the crib. You are living in a world where I don't know what you do if you're Penn State. National semifinalists last year. We got our best team coming back this year, if you believe that. And I did. Again, I'm wearing it. Best team coming back this year, I bought in. The conversation was different. Everybody at both SEC and ACC media days, when we were constructing our preseason top 25, everybody was like, I think this is it for James Franklin. Like, this is the year. This is the guy. This is the squad. This is the run. Okay. All right, we're going to talk a lot about the top 25 today because there's a lot of very interesting teams. This weekend kind of felt like it was the weekend where college football kind of began to settle into place, right? It kind of felt like this was the weekend where we started to see the teams that ate it fall off, and we started to see the teams that are the cream of the crop, yeah, make their way to the top because, you know, the cream raises to the top, yeah. So we're going to talk about that. We got to get to the NFL. Not a great day to be Kyler Murray. Not a great day to be Kyler Murray. Not only did my man lose to the winless Tennessee Titans, but his center was hitting him in the face with a football, and everybody blamed him for it. Like, oof, that's rough. We'll get to the NFL was bananas yesterday. And also, by the way, straight up, the Seahawks throwbacks, it was so good to see those. They look so good. Back after this, Rob Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Let's get it. It's the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This kind of felt like it was the beginning of the parity in college football, of which there is a bit, starting to sort itself out to some degree. Ohio State looked more like the Ohio State that we have come to expect.
Got a little bit of a running game going, and Julian saying just quietly going out there and getting things done.
23 of 37, 326 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air. The Buckeyes look like the Buckeyes. Oklahoma did what they needed to do against Kent State, 44-0. Texas A&M dog walks Mississippi State, as they should have. And again, it's not a bad MSU team. It's just that Texas A&M is a legitimate SEC team, 5-0, 2-0 in the conference. Penn State and Texas were the two weird ones. And as we all expected, DJ Lagway just outdueled Arch Manning, just like we all knew was going to happen at the beginning of the year.
If you didn't know, then you're not really good at football.
Yeah, I mean, if you said at the beginning of the year that Arch Manning was going to be a better quarterback than DJ Lagway, you don't know ball.
No one said
brother.
That, did they?
You don't know ball,
wow.
Brother. That's just kind of what it is. That's rough. Arch 16 of 29, 263, a pair of tutties, a pair of picks. DJ Lagway, 21 of 28, 298, two tutties, one pick. Florida's Jaden Ball went off 27 carries, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Florida rushed for 159 yards. Texas rushed for 52 on the day. Like,
wait, 52?
52.
That's only fit
compared to 159 they allowed.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not great, Bob, if you're a Texas guy. So between Texas and Penn State, like, you know, they kind of are what they are. I was dead-ass wrong about the Penn State Nittany Lions. Everybody else was dead-ass wrong about the Texas Longhorns. Remember coming into the year, again, to kind of pat myself on the back. Remember coming into the year when I said, everybody's in on Arch. I think it's fair to have questions. I think it is fair not to be willing.
You're saying I, but we had questions.
I represents the show.
Wow.
Obviously.
Wow.
Because we have never disagreed on anything.
Okay. All right.
We said fair to have questions about Arch Manning. Questions about Arch Manning.
Normally, I don't. I want my name on that one.
That's fair.
That's why I want it on that one.
I would too. Because when I was at SEC Media Days, and Lonzo and I were doing the shows, we had a multitude of guests on this show. Big names on this show. Big names on this show who were saying, Rob, you're wrong about Arch Manning. He's absolutely that guy. I mean, come on. Why else would he be making tens of millions of dollars in NIL when he's got the Manning pedigree, when he's got Eli and Arch, Archie and Pepe and Coop and all these great football minds to lean on? There's no way that he can't, that he won't be successful. Yet here we are. Alabama got it done against Vanderbilt. I got to tell you, I was all in on the hype. As I said last week, my heart was with the Commodores. I just think Alabama's a good football team. And I think if you didn't already, because again, Vanderbilt is a good football team, but if you didn't already, I think you've got to start coming around on Alabama. Now back inside the top 10, 30-14 winners over Vandy this weekend, and Ty Simpson is that guy, man. He's that guy. Everything that we said about Arch Manning is absolutely accurate about Ty Simpson, with the exception of he's not related to Pepe, Eli, Archie, and Cooper. Other than that, everything that we said about Arch Manning is true about Ty Simpson. This was, again, back at SEC Media Days, when the narrative that I set on our show was the Southeastern Conference is going to be dictated by the quarterbacks. I think at the end of the year, and even throughout week by week the year itself, I think you are going to see the SEC pecking order kind of determined, kind of set by quarterbacks. Where here's Alabama, undefeated in the conference, 2-0, but undefeated in the conference, 4-1. Their only loss, to me, was the loss that had them turn into this team. That loss on the road at Florida State. And I know a lot has been made of it. Understandably so. But that loss to Florida State, I think, did something to Alabama. I think they rolled up there in week one, looking at that game and going, FSU was 2-10 last year. This team's going to be hot garbage. Alabama rolled up into Tallahassee thinking, we're just going to roll the crimson helmets out onto the football field and we're going to be fine. They took one on the chin to a pretty good Florida State team. Just not a team that is a top 10 Florida State team. I think, like I said last week, I think 18, 15, that's probably around where they're going to end this year. I think if you're Clemson, and we're getting to that game here in the next segment, I think if you're Clemson, you got to feel a hell of a lot better about Florida State this weekend. Or excuse me, in 3 weeks, whatever it is, not this weekend. You got SMU, no, Boston College, then SMU, then FSU. I'll get there. Hang out. I think you got to start feeling a little bit better about that FSU game now, but I would also point out Florida State despite the fact that they were down dramatically in the third quarter, found a way to make that game close late in the game. But I they're still maybe a top 20 team. Like maybe a top 20 team. And Miami got the win on the road. But that Florida State team beating Alabama, I think, woke up a beast, man. I think it woke something up in the Crimson Tide. And, of course, they had the motivation of proving that what happened last year was an anomaly, an exception to the rule. Texas Tech, now inside the top 10, 35-11 over H-Town, over Houston. This was supposed to be a Big 12 showdown. This was going to be Texas Tech genuinely getting threatened by a good Houston Cougars team. They had the win over Utah last week, but there were questions about DeUtiana. They had the win over Oregon State, but that team's terrible. And they beat Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and Kent State. This was going to be the game that showed you can't just buy wins in college football. I don't think they did. I think they bought players and they put together a good football team. Called this shot last week. I think they roll Houston. 35-11, your final. Georgia got back to right. 35-14, your final in that one. What do you want? Georgia just physically dominated that football game. Credit to Kentucky because they just wouldn't go away. But Georgia dominated that football game. This feels like Notre Dame 28-7 over Boise State. Illinois 43-27 over Purdue. Virginia jumps up. They go get, despite 329 passing yards and a couple of tutties from Miller Moss, Virginia goes and gets it done against a 4-0 at the time Louisville team. This felt like the first week where college football kind of began to sort itself out. I was talking 2 weeks ago. I was having a conversation with a buddy of the show who's a little bit higher up in the college football talking head stratosphere. And we were going back and forth when the comments, we played them, it was last week. It was after the comments of the athletic conference commissioner when he said that we need to either modernize or do away with the preseason top 25. And we were kind of discussing those comments and what are we supposed to make of this and is he right? And if he is right, what do we do about it? And this talking head said to me, the thing about this is, if you really go look at it, college football has a pretty good history of sorting itself out. He said, I get it. I get what you're saying, that at the end of the year, there are spots where you can say, okay, this team is only there because they started higher than that. This team only did this because they were here at the beginning of the year, yada, yada, yada. But if you go back and you look at the end of the year, college football's got a pretty good track history of sorting itself out. This felt like a weekend where college football started to sort itself out. It started to look like this was a year where the good teams are starting to prove that they are genuinely good teams. Not teams who had a flash in the pan early. Not teams who took advantage of other teams who weren't quite ready and developed yet. But the good teams are starting to move up. The bad teams are starting to disappear. And I think you could see that. We'll talk more a lot about the AP Top 25, the results of the college football weekend coming up shortly. When we come back, I've got two things I'd like to get to in an extended segment. The first is a text from Pac Fan Shuf? Shuff? Shuff? Shuf? Anyway, from a Packer fan who wrote in. Or a Wolfpack fan, maybe? I don't know. Pac Fan Shuff. Let's go with that.
Let's go with Packers.
That's what I thought. It could be the NC State Wolfpack.
Are there any of those?
Seven or eight of them.
Okay, all right.
Seven or eight of them, I got to imagine. And
a root for who you root for, it's just weird.
He said, I know it's ultimately the coach's responsibility, but when do we start talking about the paid players and firing quarterbacks? I'd like to respond to that. I would also like to talk, and we will do this not only in the next segment, but also at 8:40 when John Blau joins the show. Clemson went up to Chapel Hill and did exactly what they're supposed to do and put the absolute work on the North Carolina Tar Heels. So, on the old sliding scale of truth, which side is the needle closer to? The side that said, hey, Clemson just was underperforming and now they are where they're supposed to be, or the side that says, Rob Brown was right, and the Tar Heels are a bleeping joke. I'm going to say what I think the answer is next. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I would like to address a text that we got on the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663. Your input is not just welcomed. It's not just encouraged. Nay, it is demanded. Pac fan Shoof, who has clarified two things. Number one, he is an NC State Wolfpack fan.
Congratulations.
He said, quote, I am one of the seven Wolfpack fans in South Carolina. Love the show. Then he changed his name from S-H-U-F to S-H-U-U-F to alert me that it is Shoof. Appreciate that. But he also wrote the text that says, and I quote, I know it's ultimately the coach's responsibility, but when do we start talking about the paid players and firing quarterbacks?
I'm glad he sent this text because I was thinking the whole time, can they fire Arch? It's no longer even collectives anymore. His sponsors, he can be fired. Can he? I mean, we haven't heard of poor play leading to cancellation of NIL money.
We haven't heard about it. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but we haven't heard about it. You are correct. So I have a couple of responses. First off, I would ask the question, what do you mean by fired? Because just because you are getting NIL money does not mean that a coach can't bench your ass. So, yes, if Steve Sarkisian has had enough of Arch Manning and said, you've lost two, you have underperformed in the games we needed you the most, and so we're going to find out who's next.
Dude, you can't bench royalty. You can't do that.
I mean,
you can't tell the prince that he has to go sit down. You can't do that.
Last I checked, this is the United States of America, and we fought a war about 250 years ago to prove that we absolutely don't give a damn about royalty. So, yeah, you can.
This is the crowned, you know, next champion. This is the guy, the ballyhooed, the much celebrated guy.
He who was promised. Yeah, it's not working out. So the question is, would you move on? If the answer, scratch that. The answer to that should be yes. Should be yes. It should be that Steve Sarkisian could say, I don't care if you're Arch Manning. I don't care if you have $6, $7, $10, $12 million in NIL deals. At the end of the day, you're just not that guy. You're just not him.
Could the opposite be the case, though? If he wanted to bench him, but the boosters and the people who are paying him all this money, can they put pressure on the coach to say, no, you can't do that?
So the thought I would have here is,
you can't take our billboard down.
The thought that I would have here is there is a difference between boosters and those who sign NIL contracts, collectives, whatever.
I would say that they're, that those lines cross a bunch.
Sure. You're a big Ohio State fan, right?
I don't know what my weight has to do with anything.
Okay. So, you being a big Ohio State fan,
one more big and I'm contacting HR.
You being a highly spirited Ohio State fan, I would imagine that regardless of the money you put in where you put it, if your team with national championship aspirations ranked preseason number one, now find yourself not just at 3-2, but no, they were number one to start the season because
the Texas was number one.
Correct. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're talking about, you're talking about Ohio State, then you made it sound like
I'm putting your team in the position Texas was in preseason to make a point.
Clarification for listeners, I knew the entire time what you were saying.
Yeah, of course, obviously. If your team started the year off as number one, started the year off with national championship aspirations, started the year off with a quarterback who 90% of America said, this is that guy. And instead, five games in, you find yourself at 3-2. You find yourself in a position where, sure, you lost on the road to the number two team in the country, but your quarterback did not show up in that game. And you found yourself taking an L on the road to a middling conference opponent who had a head coach who had the shortest odds in America to be the next head coach fired, and a quarterback who was last time out threw five interceptions in a single game. If you had put $1 million into that team, what would be more important to you? That the quarterback who you put the money into, assuming you put it all into that place, the quarterback that you were paying NIL money to and who was becoming progressively panned more and more by America. So when that dude who you gave your OHIONIL money to represent you is also being, let's not say mocked, but let's say is not gaining the national credibility that you are putting NIL money into the hopper for him to do. Would you care more that that guy continued to get the start when he's underperforming and the only time he's being discussed on the national outlets is when people are going, everybody except Robin Lonzo were wrong about this guy? And he ain't him. Or would you rather, I don't know, put a quarterback in there who maybe wins you the game? I'm going to go number two. I'm going to go it as the second option there. I'm going to say most of you are going to say, I'd make the change. And if my NIL money is sitting on the bench, but my football team is winning games, I'm in a better spot. That's my guess.
What if you don't have a better quarterback? What if that is your best?
If you don't have the future on the roster, in the transfer portal NIL world, especially when that guy that was him said, I'm not going to the NFL next year. Well, let me take that back. He didn't say that. Grandpappy Archie said it. And like a week later, when asked about those comments, Arch said, hey, man, I don't know where Grandpappy got that take because that's not necessarily true. But I would also say
it's probably true. Yeah.
I mean it is true now.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe perhaps Archie knew the writing was on the wall, but
maybe he did.
We'll circle around to that. The point here is it's on Steve Sarkisian. Unless he has some sort of deal where the University of Texas says you are not to bench this kid even if we are 0-5, which I'm going to go ahead and say I suspect most boosters and people who give money to NIL collectives or sign individual NIL contracts with a dude, like a national company, right? Like Dr. Pepper was invested with DJ Uiagalelei. Sure. I don't suspect that Dr. Pepper had a rooting interest in Clemson outside of, well, if Clemson stinks and tanks, our guy isn't going to be talked about on TV, and those commercials become progressively more irrelevant because if that guy's not a household name, and then we run a Fansville commercial with DJ Uiagalelei in it, the casuals across America are going to go, who's that guy with the big chain trying to get me to drink Dr. Pepper? I don't know who that is. And now your money's wasted. But I think most money in the NIL world is coming from primarily companies who do have an interest close to the team. And so it would be on Steve Sarkisian, in my ever so humble opinion, it would be on Steve Sarkisian to say, Arch ain't the guy, we're not getting what we want. Guy's going to the bench. We're going to give a run to the next guy. Or if you don't have the next guy, then my question would become, why not? And now I have a question about the coach. Why not? Now, There is an answer to that. And the answer is, much like Bo Pribula, who left Penn State, because Drew Aller said, I'm coming back. And Penn State made it obvious to Bo, you're not playing next year. And he went, well, if I can't play here, I'm going to go somewhere that I can. He's now down at Mizzou. That's a top 15 team in America at this point. So maybe if the conversation going into the year was Arch Manning is going to be here for a minute, you know, if you've got a five-star recruit on the bench who goes, it's two more years until I play, maybe he does go somewhere else. Maybe he does go to a school like a Mizzou and say, I'll be the reason that this team is elevated. I don't know. It is, the point is, there's a little bit more leniency and leeway with coaches now than there has been in years gone by. At the same time, it is on the coach and it is on the companies at the end of the year that signed an NIL deal. It is on the collectives at the end of the year who organized NIL deals for that quarterback to make the decision of, do I sign this guy to another year of NIL? It is on them to say, did I sign him to a two-year contract up front? When Arch committed, did I sign him to a three-year NIL contract and I'm legally obligated to pay that? Or did I sign him to a one-year deal and at the end of the season, I've got to have somebody make a phone call that goes, Arch, we appreciate it, but we don't feel we got the return on investment we were looking for, so we are not going to renew our contract for next year. Everybody's got their own decisions to make. And this is why I said, I think the first two or three years of NIL are likely going to see a market value that starts real high, and then we start to see those numbers fade. We start to see NIL contracts start to come down. And the reason I think we start to see contracts come down is because at some point, collectives and companies are going to see there's probably a lot more DJ Uiagalelei and Arch Manning out there than there are Dante Moores, right? I would, to kind of keep it on the local front, let me ask the question right now. Does anybody think that, and again, had a great game against Kentucky, but is Lenora Sellers doing what we expected him to do this year? I would say no. And we can blame it on the offensive coordinator. We can blame it on the offensive line. We can blame it on Shane Bieber. We can blame it on Lenora Sellers. Blame what you want to blame. He's not putting up the numbers. He's not getting the attention you thought. So if you signed $1.5 million NIL deal with Lenora Sellers, granted, not the same because we're all relatively sure he is going to the league next year. But if you sign that deal with him, do you feel like you're getting your ROI? Probably not. So maybe it walks back next year. That's kind of the point I'm making. Then we go down to Ole Miss, and there's a cat by the name of Trinidad Chambliss, who's got Ole Miss, a win over LSU, now the number four team in the country. Trinidad Chambliss, and I said this on the show that I was on Saturday, and I say it respectfully, Trinidad Chambliss is a better Lenora Sellers than Lenora Sellers is right now. Like, that kid, I don't know what his NIL deals are, as a transfer out of nowhere to Ole Miss. But I'd be willing to bet right now, if I was in NIL, if I was a team or an entity signing an NIL deal, Trinidad Chambliss is the guy I wish I would have given my money to at this point. But nobody knew who the hell that kid was when he started there. So because it is a gamble, and because there are, I would argue, probably more quarterbacks that are not living up to their NIL money. Is Cade Klubnik living up to his NIL money? Granted, he looked like a friggin' machine against North Carolina. Again, North Carolina's a joke. But he looked like a machine against North Carolina. But on the season, if you sign $1 million deal with Cade Klubnik, are you getting your money's worth? No. Like, the only discussion about Cade Klubnik is how maybe we got it wrong. Maybe this isn't the quarterback class we thought it was. I mean, Ty Simpson's trying to change that narrative. Dante Moore's trying to change that narrative. Trinidad Chambliss trying to change that narrative. But these are all guys who were not in that preseason discussion. So the answer to your question, Pac Fan Shoof, is this. It is on the coach to make the decision that is best for their football team. And if Steve Sarkisian thinks that leaving Arch Manning in the starting lineup is what's best for him, that's on him. But like James Franklin, like Billy Napier, like Dabo Swinney like Shane Beamer. At the end of the day, the results of the season are on you. That's on you. And so this is kind of one of those spots that you look and you go, if you want to stick with Arch, whether it's because he's got too much NIL and you don't want those NIL deals to go anywhere, the coach would have a vested interest in those NIL deals staying in place. Because at the end of the year, Steve Sarkisian can look at the next five-star quarterback and go, hey, our last guy got X million dollars in NIL deal. You show up and you be that guy, you've got the possibility. But at the end of the year, Arch Manning gets all his deals canceled because he just wasn't that good, and those deals all go to the back seat. You can't brag about that anymore, right? You can't brag about it because now you're going to add, but if you show up and you fail miserably, they'll leave you out in the cold. They have a reason to want those NIL deals in place. And so maybe there's a justification for Sarkisian going, I believe Arch will click, so I'm going to leave him in there. I don't know. But that's why guys like Steve Sarkisian get paid $11, $12, $13 million annually to make those decisions, because the results of their decisions are on them and their ability to keep a job as well. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know. We will spend a chunk of the next hour discussing Clemson's dominant win over North Carolina, as well as the rest of the results from the college football weekend. Then in hour three, we'll get to some NFL. John Blau joins the show to talk Clemson. All that and more coming up after this, not just quality, but well above average quality, Sports Flash.
We aim for high mid here. The Carolina Panthers got win number two with a 27-24 defeat of the Miami Dolphins. Former Gamecock Rico Dowdle showed out, carrying 23 times for 206 yards and a touchdown and three grabs for 28 yards. Bryce Young completed 19 of 30 passes for 198 yards and a pair of touchdowns with one pick. Carolina is back home this week, hosting Dallas on Sunday. The AP Top 25 is out with some dramatic changes. Ohio State remains at number one. Miami moves to two ahead of Oregon. Ole Miss stays at four, while Texas A&M cracks the top five for the first time. Oklahoma is number six. Indiana moves up to seven ahead of Alabama, Texas Tech, and Georgia. Toronto Blue Jays are one win away from the ALCS after a 13-7 win over New York, put them up 2-0 in the best of five series. Toronto chased all-star Max Fried after just three innings, recording eight hits and seven earned runs. Our number two is up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.